You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. You can eat the same exact meal in a different order and have a completely different impact on your body composition. One order of eating the same exact meal can increase fat deposition, and the other can help you reach your body composition, aesthetic, and toning goals that much quicker. The body is totally magical, and today we're going to talk about why. My name's Kelsey. I'm your host. Again, I'm a doctor of physical therapy, board certified in orthopedics, and then also pelvic floor physical therapist. And this is sort of a part two episode on blood glucose regulation and all of the magical things about blood glucose regulation and how we can optimize our blood glucose regulation in order to reach the aesthetic goals we have set for ourselves, the body composition goals we have set for ourselves, improve our metabolism, just so many different things when it comes to regulating our blood glucose. So again, part one, we did blood glucose regulation in regards to movement. So that is the Hot Girl Walk episode if you missed it. We'll debrief a little bit of that today, but this time we're going to go more into the fueling component of blood glucose regulation. So that includes things like the order in which we eat our food, types of foods, the way we can sort of just optimize how we eat and think, be more mindful of how we eat in order to help us reach the goals that we have set for ourselves. So I think it's super cool. It's one of the best things that I've been learning about, one of the most interesting things I've been learning about over the past probably like 6 or so months, and why I eat either like a boiled egg, a scoop of Greek yogurt, green beans, something like that, before I eat any sort of like sourdough bread or pasta. So this episode will tell you why, and we'll kind of dive into the science behind it and then also why I do it and how you can incorporate it too. So a little bit of a life update, I guess, first. So, and this is more in regards to the Ella Wellness Sisterhood, but I'm struggling with prickly heat, which I guess is like heat rash, and I didn't know that after Memorial Day. So my plan is to film and record just a lot of low impact, no sweat workouts for the sisterhood. So if you're a member, be on the lookout for those, because I am currently in the phase with my body where I cannot sweat very much in order to exacerbate this like prickly heat rash. So TMI, but I know there's a lot of times when we want to do workouts where we're trying to fit it in and we don't want to have to take like a full shower. So, or, you know, like wash our bodies or wash our hair, like right then we might do it before work and then have to get to work. So we don't want to sweat as much. So those types of workouts are coming to the sisterhood because I'm struggling and I need to find a way to get some movement in and get some workout in and get a sort of like strength training focus session in without sweating too much to exacerbate the prickly heat symptoms. So TMI, but also a benefit for those who are a part of the sisterhood. So we'll start off with talking about how the body is so magical in regards to blood glucose regulation. If you've listened to the Hot Girl Walk episode, this will be review. But we basically go into how our blood glucose levels are affected and how meals and movement impacts that. And then today we're going to go into that, how the fueling or food component impacts that. So for starters, when we eat, our body breaks down food, macronutrients, into its component parts. So carbohydrates, fats, proteins. We're going to toss fats and proteins to the side for a little bit, and we're going to talk about carbohydrates. Carbohydrates get broken down into glucose. And glucose can go to like three different places. It can go to immediate usage, short-term storage, or long-term storage. And the molecule that's in charge of sort of cueing our cells into that like glucose utilization is insulin, which is released by the pancreas. And there's chemicals in our mouth and in our brain and in our guts that sort of sense when that insulin needs to be released in order to cue it. But it feeds back and tells our cells, hey, use that glucose for immediate utilization if we need to use it for energy. Store it in a short-term storage solution in the form of glycogen, or we're going to put it into long-term storage in the form of triglycerides in our adipose tissue. And so adipose tissue is fat tissue. And so we need this fat tissue for long-term storage of glucose, right? Because we need that if we're ever, it's a survival mechanism. If we're ever sort of fasting for prolonged periods of time, we can rely on that long-term storage of glucose in order to mobilize that glucose or remobilize that glucose for energy. But in the immediate sort of need for glucose, we rely on blood glucose first. Then our cells utilize that. Then we move into the short term, which is glycogen. And glycogen's easier to break down compared to the triglycerides. And so our body uses that short-term storage solution. And then we move into the long-term storage solution. So we utilize the glucose basically from the most available in the blood and in the plasma to the least available, which is the triglycerides in the adipose tissue, right? So we need all three storage solutions. It's great that we have all three, but if we have too much blood glucose in our cells, we use it for immediate usage, we max out our short-term storage solutions, then they move into the long-term storage, and we can continue to make these new adipose cells in order to hold more of that glucose, right, in the form of triglycerides. And so once we sort of max out one little adipose cell, our body's able to create another and another and another. And then we keep kind of maxing out those. And so that's where the body composition sort of goals come into this blood glucose regulation, and that it's important to stabilize that blood glucose level and make sure that our body's, you know, sending it where it needs to go without having to create extra long-term storage, because we have way too much glucose and way too much blood glucose in our system. On the other side of that, we also want to make sure that our cells are sensitive to the release of insulin, meaning insulin's the signaling molecule that helps us to uptake that glucose from our blood. And if we have too high of blood glucose levels, that can increase our risk for things like metabolic disease, diabetes, just any sort of like chronic inflammation. So it's really important that we keep those levels in our blood glucose relatively stable, rather than having super high peaks or super low dips. Like we want to keep it relatively stable. And that can also help with things like cravings, because if we have a drop or an increase, that can help cue us into a certain craving versus another, where if we have more stable blood glucose, our body doesn't sense the need for a certain type of food because, again, our blood glucose levels are relatively stable. And so in a metabolically unhealthy system, our cells are less responsive to insulin, meaning because of chronic inflammation, because other molecules are blocking that signal, our cells are not cued by insulin or don't hear that signal as well in order to uptake that glucose, use it in short or store it in short term, store it in long term. And so it creates this sort of vicious cycle of heightened blood glucose levels, insulin's released. They can't sense insulin, so the blood glucose levels are still heightened, so more insulin gets released. And it's just this vicious chronic inflammatory cycle that can stress out our mitochondria and the powerhouses of the cells in order to just utilize that energy and decrease some of the oxidative stress and all of these things. So it's just this sort of vicious cycle when we're not able to stabilize those blood glucose levels. And after a meal, it's normal for those to raise. So we want, I mean, they need to raise, right? Because we're actually breaking down those carbohydrates specifically into glucose. And so they need to raise. We expect that raise. But if we can decrease the height of that raise or decrease the variance of that raise or make that increase in glucose level over a longer period of time, that's a little healthier for our bodies and easier for our bodies and our digestion to manage. And then it won't lead into that chronic inflammatory metabolic disease cycle. So we want metabolically healthy system, which means we want our cells to respond appropriately to insulin. So we want them to be insulin sensitive, not resistant to insulin, insulin resistant. So I know a lot of articles and different things can use those terms like insulin sensitivity, insulin resistance, and it can get very overwhelming. That's why I always have to phrase it in a certain way to help my own brain process what they mean by insulin resistance and insulin sensitivity. But we want our cells to be sensitive to insulin in order to utilize and store the glucose in the right way, and in order to decrease our overall and level out our overall plasma blood glucose levels. So with our fueling component, we also have the movement component, which again, was the Hot Girl Walks episode where we chatted all about how we can utilize movement after meals in order to level out our blood glucose and help our cells utilize that blood glucose immediately for energy. So if you think about it, you eat a meal and then your carbohydrates that you just ate get broken down into glucose molecules. And if you take a movement or like a movement snack or a hot girl walk or a mental clarity walk after a meal, your body is able to immediately use those glucose molecules for immediate energy rather than having to rely on short-term storage solution or long-term storage solutions as much. And so that's one of the ways that we can sort of level out that peak in the blood glucose levels after a meal and just throughout the day. But there's a lot of ways we can help this. But today we'll talk about the fueling component. So how we can optimize how we eat and the order in which we eat, which I think is truly magical, in order to help that overall blood glucose level and our overall metabolism. So the issue that we want to minimize is consistently high levels of glucose spikes and then the variance between our highs and our lows. So we want a relatively flat curve, and there are going to be some peaks and valleys, which is totally normal, but we don't want these drastic peaks or these drastic valleys. We want to keep our system in a relative like homeostatic level, right? And so in regards to fueling, what can we do about it? So this is like where I think the body is absolutely magical, and the research that I've been diving into over the past like 6 or 7 months and tweaking my food habits based on it. But I've listened to Godfather Huberman, of course, but Dr. Casey Means, and then Dr. Daryl Geoffrey, and then the glucose goddess I believe she is Dr. Jessie, but she's a biochemist. They all sort of talk about how to better regulate these levels and in different ways we can eat our foods and combine our foods together in order to help manage these levels. And so I think it's super duper cool, but this is where the order in which we eat our food matters. So I intro'd this video saying it's really cool that we can eat the exact same meal in a different order and have a completely different response on our body composition, right? So the reason for that is what I like to call sort of digestive multitasking or metabolic multitasking. And it's not science term that like in the research at all. It's something that helps me think about what's actually happening physiologically within our bodies. But I call it metabolic multitasking or digestion multitasking because it's a way of combining carbohydrates, which again are broken down into those glucose molecules, with things like fats, proteins, and fiber in order to help level out those overall levels. And so I think about it this way. So if we eat a carb-heavy meal, so if we're only eating like pasta, let's say, or sourdough bread, that's our meal, that's our snack. Our body has one molecule to break down. And so this is where if we have one task we're doing, we're going to be able to do it more efficiently and quicker. And so with carbohydrates, they're easier to break down anyways into those glucose molecules. But because we're using just those carbohydrates, our body's like, oh, we know how to do this. We're great at this. Like, we're going to break this down, release all those glucose molecules into the blood to be distributed elsewhere, which is good. But the one thing is that because it's so quick and because it's so efficient, it causes this major spike in our blood glucose levels when the body starts to absorb those glucose molecules. And so it's a soul task that our body has to handle when it comes to digestion. And so our body's better able to like efficiently and quickly digest those carbohydrates into glucose, which creates a spike in our overall blood glucose levels. And so it's efficiency and and being quick with a task is good, but when it comes to our digestion and when it comes to our metabolism and when it comes to breaking down different molecules in our food, again, we want to level out that curve over a period of time. And so we don't want this super quick, super high spike in our blood glucose levels. And so the way that we can combat that is through metabolism multitasking or digestion multitasking, as I like to call it, where we are utilizing proteins, fats, and carbs, and then also fiber, which we'll get to, but all of those together to where our body is more distracted in metabolizing all of the other macronutrients, and therefore it can decrease that curve and that that spike in those glucose levels over time. And so it's busying itself with other sort of molecules. And so over time, it starts to release that glucose back into the bloodstream rather than all at once. And if you think about it again, our body utilizes glucose immediately for short-term storage or for long-term storage. And so if we have this major spike, but we do the same activity. So let's say we're going to sit back at work after we eat a meal. If we eat a super carb heavy meal and are going to sit down after work, that major spike, we're not going to utilize a lot of glucose immediately. And so that's more that's going to go into short-term storage, and more that's going to go into long-term storage, because it's that massive spike that the body has to get rid of. Where with the multitasking and the metabolic multitasking, we're able to slowly absorb that glucose into the bloodstream and use it over time rather than all at once and having to rely more on that adipose tissue storage. And so I call it metabolic multitasking, again, just because it makes it easier for me to think about, where the body is able to busy itself doing other things. And so it's a longer release of those glucose molecules and a longer absorption of those glucose molecules back into the bloodstream. And therefore we can use it over time rather than having to use it all at once and then store it all at once too. If that all sort of, I'm using my hands a lot to explain, but I think it's just so, so cool that we can eat the same exact meal. We can eat pasta, sourdough bread, but we can pair it with ground beef and avocado or some sort of like fats, fiber, protein all at once, and our body's better able to digest the same amount of food, the same exact piece of sourdough bread, the same exact pasta, better if we're able to add in that boiled egg or grilled chicken or something like that. And so I think it's a super magical way that our body is able to handle the same exact food in a better way for our health and our metabolism. So the other component of this is fiber. So fiber acts as a sort of liner along the digestive tract. And so it slows the absorption of glucose into the bloodstream, which is what we want, right? We don't want those massive spikes. And so along with coupling our carbs with proteins and fats, we can also add in fiber in order to create, I like to think of it as like a lattice along the digestive tract to slowly absorb glucose over time rather than all at once. And so by combining protein, fats, carbs, and fiber, we're better able to help our body digest the carbohydrates, especially, in a more favorable way for our metabolism and our overall digestion and our overall body composition. So that is why I like to pair, honestly, like if we eat pizza even or something, or if we homemade pizza, I always like to now eat, it's not the healthiest, but it gets my veggies in, like a can of green beans or a boiled egg or a scoop of Greek yogurt, or adding some flax seeds or some chia seeds for the fiber. Just something that I'm even adding, right? I'm even adding calories to this, but by adding these very purposeful proteins, fats, and fiber to my meal, I'm better able to prep my body for the utilization of that blood glucose rather than relying more on that adipose tissue long-term storage, which again can affect body composition, aesthetic, and toning goals. And so it makes my body feel better too, because it's just less bloated once I start my meal with a protein, with a fat, with a fiber, compared to if I start my meal with a carbohydrate. So I like that I also feel better without, when it comes to bloating, but I also have noticed that I do have less cravings after and throughout the day, because I'm like, oh, I've paired that carb with something that is helping my digestive system to multitask a little bit better. And so it's one of the sort of magical things about our body, and the fact that we can eat the same carbs, the same exact piece of white bread, but by adding that fat, protein, and fiber, and or, like it can be a combination or it can be any of them, it will all help to sort of slow that absorption of the glucose back into the bloodstream. And so I think, again, whole foods are obviously one of the best things you can do for your body, but a lot of the time it's cost prohibitive for people, or we just don't have the habit set yet, or we don't really know how to cook it, or there's so many barriers to like saying, oh, eat whole foods only, or eat, you know, some, a lot of the time people think that they can be a little bit more expensive. And I have not looked at the analysis. I've heard if you do buy more processed foods compared to like just buying whole foods, that there is some controversy as to whether or not that is actually cheaper or not. But I think one of the easiest things that we can do, and it's completely like just so easy to do because it's not really even changing anything that we have to buy at the grocery store, but eating the same carbohydrates that we would eat at a meal with a protein and a fat and fiber. And so adding those things in can definitely help your digestion and your metabolism. So ideally, in an ideal world, we probably would be able to only eat the carbs that our body needs, only eat the proteins, fats, fiber that our body needs. But if we're having trouble sort of with the fueling component of our health and wellness, I think a nice way to help yourself in a super easy way is by switching the order in which you eat food. So eating your fats, protein, vegetables, fiber first, and then ending with your carbs is a great way to help your overall metabolism and then your overall sort of body composition goals. So even if you're eating that pasta or eating that bread and you cannot get rid of it, try adding a veggie and a protein and switching the order of your meal in order to help that overall like leveling out of those blood glucose levels. So this is the way I think our body is just like super magical, because it's the same exact meals. If you're bringing a protein, carb, fat, and fiber to lunch, and you normally, I feel like any restaurant we go to, like Tex-Mex food, chips first. Italian restaurant, it's like bread first, right? So if we can switch the order, eating the same exact foods, it's a great way to help us towards our body composition, toning, and aesthetic goals, even if we're eating the same exact meals, which is why I think the body is absolutely magical. So if I've also been trying to sort of switch up the percentages that I'm eating and being more mindful of getting the appropriate amounts of protein, fats, fiber, vegetables before the carbohydrates. And so that's sort of my next step, I guess, because fueling is like, I like different foods. I like eating these sort of homemade pizzas and these pastas and sourdough bread and all of these things. But if I can combine it in a better way with other foods that I'm eating or in a better order in order to help me reach those like aesthetic body composition and toning goals quicker and faster and in a more healthy way for myself, why not? And I've absolutely like noticed a change just by switching the order in which I've eaten my foods in. So super duper cool. So this is why I add scoop of green yogurt or Greek yogurt, scoop of green yogurt. I mean, if it's green, great, but scoop of Greek yogurt, boiled egg, green beans, flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, anything like that to my meals, because I know that it'll help physiologically, like internally at the cellular level, how my body's able to handle that blood glucose. And so if you're struggling with how to implement this sort of change on the Ella Wellness Sisterhood, all of our recipes sort of encompass this like way of eating and being more, they're very mindful of our own metabolism at the cellular level. And so if you need some recipe ideas, check out the Sisterhood. We offer a 7-day free trial. So you can sign up, check in the recipes, food, and fueling category, and all of them promote this way of eating where we're combining, we're not limiting carbs, we're combining them with other ingredients and we're eating them at a more appropriate level for ourselves and our body, but we're able to combine them with other things to decrease cravings and help our overall sort of blood glucose and plasma glucose levels. And then therefore, again, I say this in a cycle because I feel like it needs repetition, but it helps our overall body composition, aesthetic goals, because we're able to utilize that glucose over a longer period of time rather than having to rely on that adipose tissue as long-term storage solutions. So this is the sort of part two of why our body's so magical, how to utilize different foods and how we eat our foods and the order in which we eat our foods in order to optimize our blood glucose levels, our metabolism, our body composition and aesthetic goals. If you missed part one, it was the hot girl walk episode. So that really just dives into how we can utilize movement to help with our blood glucose regulation, our metabolism, our digestion, our body composition, all of those sorts of links and things that go together. So I invite you to check that out if you missed it. We'll be having plenty more in this series. The blog post is going to go out Monday, June 3rd, 2024. So if you are signed up for the newsletter, you will get that in your inbox. If not, you can take a look at the Wellness Big Sis blog on our website, and it'll dive into all of the science behind all of these things in more of a written form. So we've covered movement, we've covered fueling, we're going to cover gut health, our microbiome, our environmental toxins, light, sleep, stress management, all of these things that sort of feed into our overall metabolism. So this is a super duper extensive blog post, extensive podcast series, but I think it's super cool that all of these contributors, movement, fueling, stress, sleep, light, environmental toxins, all of these things feed into our regulation of different systems within our body and can contribute to how we feel energy level wise, craving wise, and then also even aesthetic and body composition goals, which I know that we all probably have for ourselves, wanting to look and feel our best. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. I hope you learned something. This is one of the coolest things. I'll try and leave some of the links below to sign up for the newsletter, the blog post, which has all of the references for the physicians and researchers that I mentioned today, if you want to dive in a little bit more. But thank you guys so, so much for listening. Again, I would super appreciate it if you liked, followed, subscribed on the podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube. It would really, really mean a lot to me. Again, I say this every time, but any sort of new share or new follower or new subscriber on any of like podcast platforms or YouTube or whatever means the world to me, because I absolutely love doing this, and I'm hoping that it is benefiting even one of you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I super appreciate it. And I'll see you guys again on the next Wellness Big Sis podcast episode.